Welcome to the Forward Minds podcast. I'm your host, Joy Asfar. Join me every month as we meet entrepreneurs and innovators who are propelling change in the world of sustainability. Listen to their stories and discover how they are shaping a new lifestyle. Welcome back to the Forward Minds. Today's guest is Eliza Flanagan, the co-founder of CanCan. Following the motto, what goes around comes around, CanCan is working to reduce single-use plastics in the home by taking refills mainstream. Created with vegan and natural formulas, its hand, body, and baby washes are all conveniently canned, ready to be cracked, and poured into luxurious forever bottles. Ready to learn more? Let's discover together the pros of aluminium and what role personal care can play in a circular economy. Thank you, Eliza, for joining me today on The Forward Minds. I'm very excited to dive into CanCan, your innovative solution to reducing packaging waste in beauty. So welcome.
Nice to meet you, Joy. Thank you for inviting us on.
Thank you. I'd like to start and jump into the topic very quickly and talk about the environmental issue that you're trying to focus on with CanCan, which is packaging waste. And I think it would be interesting to give our listeners some background on the impact of packaging and the environment.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we are not alone in the sense of when watching Blue Planet 2, the shock of seeing that level of plastic in our oceans was pretty triggering for us. And it came from a really personal place. So we just initially were looking for solutions that we could do in our own bathrooms and homes. So we, my business partner and I had small children at home and they create a lot of waste and we were looking for easy switches. And the one thing that we were really struggling with was bathroom products. So I think we kind of gave it a really good go, but we were looking at solids and, you know, my business partner, you know, decided that she was going to commit to the solid shampoo and, you know, use that for 3 or so weeks exclusively. And I mean, it just wasn't working for us as much as we were really hoping and really committed to the cause. Yet the actual process of using these products was just left us wanting, either in a convenience factor or in the product itself or the usability. There was things that kind of meant that we were making sacrifices. And that's really sort of where the initial sort of idea came from, trying to find solutions that were elevated and were without sacrifice for people, but equally we're kind of ticking all those boxes that we were wanting to do and needing to do from a sustainability point of view, because in a modern sustainable solution in our mind wasn't sort of going back 15 years to old technology, but sort of looking at new ways of doing things that sort of fitted our lives for now. Yeah, and you know, we are all pretty dependent on liquids now for the bathroom, as much as we understand that solids are an obvious solution. For many reasons,
we're used to it.
We're used to it. So it's very hard to go back to the ways of old, I think, not for everyone, but certainly for many of us. So
it's very true. It's also what you were saying before is the convenience and also the quality of the product. I mean, and we are used to a certain standard and we want to continue having it. So that's always, that's the trade-off in sustainability sometimes.
Yeah.
And I was reading actually that, and I thought it was quite interesting, that recycling, because, you know, recycling plastic, we always feel better because, you know, we buy something made out of plastic and we throw it in this recycling bin and we feel better, which is great. And obviously we should all continue doing that. But we have to know also that only, I think, 9% of the world's plastic waste ends up being recycled. So that's not really a real solution, obviously. So that's where you picked the aluminium can, I guess.
Correct. Yeah, it's a real sort of eye opener. So came about this sort of realization very early on in our R&D process. We were originally looking at things that could be posted through the letterbox. So we're looking at pouches and other forms of packaging that would allow us to, you know, use different ways of sort of delivering a more sustainable solution. And we were actually working with a consultant that had claimed to have real depth of knowledge in innovation around packaging. And he sold us this idea of these pouches. He's like, oh, look, they're compostable. You can just, people use them and they can just put them in the compost and they'll be dirt within, you know, a few weeks. And we were like, this is brilliant. Why don't more people do this? We were just like totally sold on this idea. This is going to be great. We can post it through the mailbox. So, you know, the convenience there is, you know, 10 times that of packages that, you know, you have to sign for or what have you. And then we started doing our own research around the products that he was offering to us, you know, our due diligence, just to make sure everything was sort of ticking the boxes. And we realized that what he was selling to us as compostable was biodegradable, which ultimately means it just turns into microplastics. There's a chemical or an enzyme or something within the plastic that just makes it dissolve quicker, which is like really going
not a good solution
where we want to go. And we were just like absolutely in awe that this person would be preaching themselves or claiming to be this sort of all knowledgeable consultant in this area, and he was ultimately greenwashing us. And so it sort of stopped everything. All those conversations obviously stopped right there, and then we had to go straight back to the drawing board. And then we came across the circular economy principles by the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, and they sort of look at things a lot more holistically in the sense of looking at resources from a circular point of view rather than just packaging as a sort of standalone thing, which we previous to this sort of realization or, you know, light bulb moment were doing. And we started to see that, you know, a circular economy really was the only way to go forward with any manufacturing, you know, in our instance with us, like we had to look at the circular economy from a packaging point of view, but also from, you know, systems of use and other sort of, you know, the way that we move product from manufacture into, you know,
to the consumer, sort
of consumer packaging. Yeah. And, you know, likewise for the actual soaps themselves, like having a circular story within the actual soaps, looking for waste materials that have a second life to them, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that was really what drew us to metal as being a packaging of choice. And also we started to also assess the way that we were going to pay back to the planet as well. So, you know, there's three pillars to the circular economy, and the third pillar, which is the one that's often ignored or, you know, sort of forgotten about, is this regenerating the planet. So, you know, you have to pay back to the planet of what you're taking. So, you know, that's the reason for our tree planting initiative with every can sold. It's well and above the carbon impacts that our product produces, but equally, like, it's a really quantifiable gesture that we felt was really important if we were going to use the circular economy principles as our benchmark for our business. And that was, and you know, we had to do it in an impactful way.
It was essential for your DNA.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And so the can, when I discovered your brand and your product, I thought the can was obviously a really fun product and a really fun item to have.
Yeah.
But there's a really, I was reading on your website and you're going to tell us about it, but I was reading all the statistics and the environmental impact of aluminium. And I thought that's really interesting. And I'm pretty sure that many people don't really know about that. So I'd love for you to tell us about why aluminium and why the can.
Sure. I mean, I'd just like premise this to say that the aluminium can is not a perfect solution. And I don't think there actually is one out there, to be fair. But it is an amazing, I mean, metal is just an amazing resource because it is a circular resource. It can be recycled infinitely and doesn't lose any of its materiality. So, you know, once it's been mined and turned into aluminium, then it's in the world and can be, as long as it's obviously recycled, it can be used forever. And there's something really magical about that. And also it's a material that is the only thing that is recycled that not only pays for its own collection because it is a valued resource, but also helps contribute to pay for other collections too. And so, you know, it's really the first step, I think, in looking at circularity, because you need to have a value on waste that sort of justifies its collection and reuse. And because aluminium has that, and because of its ability to be recycled forever, there is a value already attached to it, and that's wonderful. And so the other great thing about aluminium, and another reason why we chose it as packaging, is because there is almost globally a waste stream that is long established to collect and recycle it. And a lot of these new materials, bioplastics and other modern solutions, the biggest problem around the using these materials is there's no waste streams to deal with them. And often they are clogging up our normal established recycling plants because people are putting bioplastics in, you know, along
the wrong bin
or whatever. And they're all getting mixed up and it's sort of contaminating the normal waste streams where you would, you know, that are established and need to be kept clean in order for them to function. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said for sort of not reinventing the wheel now.
Absolutely.
And sort of using, if you want to sort of make change quickly, that was our other reason for choosing aluminium. We didn't want to reinvent the wheel. We didn't want to spend a bunch of money in innovation around developing a new packaging material.
Yeah, especially if something is already there and it works and it has a great environmental impact.
Yeah. And there's so many people doing great innovation work and that's fantastic. And I don't want to sort of deflect from that. That's an important part of this transition from being what has predominantly been a sort of linear manufacturing model into something that's much more sustainable is brilliant. But for our purpose, we just wanted to make change immediately or as fast as we could. And so we just wanted a real switch like for like in regards to sort of providing liquids for the bathroom that people are now reliant on and like into packaging that could be sort of back on the shelves within 6 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite, I was going to say also that something I was going to mention before, it's, you know, product in the bathroom, it's something that we buy regularly and constantly and quite at a fast pace, to be honest. So, you know, the can is definitely something that, you know, is easy to use, convenient. And as you say, like it goes in the right recycling bin and it's easy to recycle. So that's definitely the right pick.
Yeah.
Did you face any challenges with the can in terms of design or I don't know, the product inside or?
Oh, look, don't underestimate the simplicity of a can. So complicated. I mean.
Okay, so there you go. Even another advantage on top of that.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it isn't the aluminium can or the one we currently use is a can destined or designed for effervescent drinks. So having pressure within the can helps it keep its form. It's ultimately incredibly malleable, very soft material, aluminium. So it dents easily. It is light and it is quite durable, but it does dent and bend very easily. So when you have pressurized beer or Coke or whatever it is that you have in a can, the pressurization sort of keeps its form and keeps it really firm. And when you don't have pressurization or some sort of gas in there to sort of hold its form, it can be, yeah, it's just very fragile. And so we're very much in our MVP stage in the sense of like it's very early doors for us. We just really wanted to get to market and test whether or not people understood the concept, could see through the sort of, you know, whilst it does look fun and playful, and it is, it's meant to be fun and playful, it isn't a gimmick and it is intended to be, you know, a high quality luxury product in itself. And we just wanted to test would people perceive the can in that concept because it is actually quite a throwaway object and we see so many of them in our daily life. And that's been really positive. But we do struggle regularly on just ensuring that those cans are getting to our customers in their best possible condition. And we will be, in order to get to a scale that we're hoping to get in the coming year, we do need to find, you know, we need to pressurize those cans just to make sure that they have a durability to them that allows them to get to the customers the way we want them to arrive in.
Okay. Well, that's something I didn't think about, but yeah, that's great. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
The pressurizing of the can. You never really think about that because as you say, it's an item that we see in our fridge everywhere all the time. And it's true that having it in your bathroom also, it must have been interesting for customers to understand what they were feeling about it. So that was another point I wanted to touch upon, which is obviously the product design plays a very important role in your business and circularity, as you mentioned before, is at the center of it all. And refills, as you mentioned also, are not really, the pouches, which are refills as well, are not really a long-term solution because in some ways they're not fitting in the circularity.
And they're still plastic, ultimately. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, and exactly. And they're plastic, yeah. Exactly. And so the product design is also about aesthetics and convenience. And that's really something, I guess, it's a really important point in creating attractive packaging for refillable products, because they need to compete with existing brands.
Yeah, I think aesthetics is, we are a design-led business for sure. It was really important for us to elevate the experience of refills, because refills have a bit of a dirty sort of, not dirty word, but like they have a perception of being less than a non-refill, I suppose. And I feel like we just really wanted to puncture that idea a little bit and sort of turn it on its head. We also wanted to sort of make refilling mainstream and less of a hassle for the consumer. So we just want, yeah, so there's a kind of two-pronged approach, like the convenience factor for sure. So bringing the ability to refill into the home is really key. I mean, I really commend people that go to refill stores and do their own refilling. I think it's great that they are around, and I really think it's brilliant for those that can access those stores easily. But for me, living in London, was just almost impossible to get to those stores. And I found that I was, you know, just the timing of everything or...
It just didn't work. It's tough to make it work.
Tough. And then I'd find myself desperate for the product and then having to go to my local offie to pick up whatever it was that I needed from, you know, that was a lesser product, but I just needed it. And because I didn't get to the store in time, you know, all those sorts of like the logistics of trying to live a more sustainable life in a city.
So yeah, no, the convenience is really important. It's a really important factor, I think, for people to be able to switch to a sustainable version of what they were using. I really believe, as you were saying, convenience is really important.
Yes, convenience is massively important, but also elevating the experience too. So what we are keen to do with CanCan going forward is actually elevate it even further. So there is a little bit of we are asking our customers to decant from the can into whichever dispenser they have, be it one of our bottles and pumps or whether it's one of the ones that they have previously purchased. And in the future, we would love to be able to offer a full experience around just like using the can as a refill, but actually experiencing or dispensing directly from the can. And then once you sort of use the soap from the can, then you dispose of the can. So we've had a lot of customer research come back, say people love the can and get really sad about having to decant and then throw it away.
I'm pretty sure. I would love to have a can, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's
so,
really nice. Yeah.
It's always interesting what customers say. You often feel like you think you know things and then they
prove you wrong. Really, you think you're really the other side. Yeah. I agree.
So having a way to dispense from the can would be great. And then again, the customer experience will be so much smoother and more luxurious too, because we're asking them to do, you know, fiddly decanting and stuff. So that's in the pipeline. And so I think by doing that and also just, you know, just sort of focusing on having the product sort of elevated as well and the quality of the product being really high quality too, those two things combined, I think, would sort of do what we wanted, which was sort of turn refilling on its head a little, yeah.
To elevate the product, as you were saying. And it's really about no sustainable swap sacrifice. I love that, you know, little word expression. I think it's really important. So you were talking about elevating the product itself. And I was wondering what, in terms of the refill industry in general, what do you think are the, is there any limitation? Because I was reading that there was some, you know, one of the most important blocker would be, you know, because you're doing soap and the sanitation or sensitivity of some ingredients. So you can't maybe expand the range too much when you have refills. Is that a problem?
Look, we're really keen to expand to all bathroom essentials. We really wanted from the get-go to offer a solution for your everydays. So not sort of, you know, we kind of looked at things that we all use every day that are sort of our basics that aren't sort of superfluous or, you know, special occasion. We don't want to bring anything into the world that isn't necessary or needed. And then we wanted to just to elevate those products in a sort of modern, sustainable fashion. And so, yeah, all bath products and bathroom products are sort of planned for us. First off, we want to broaden our range of products and bring in some circularity in the ingredients. And then we also are keen to put in and to launch hair care. That's been requested from our customers since the get-go, really. So that would be great to add soon. And they're in development. And as for the marketplace, there is so much innovation around this space that's happened in the first year of our in our lifetime, which is brilliant. There's now a whole bunch of waterless products, which are
okay.
I don't know if you've seen some of those, but they
No, I haven't actually.
Cleaning products. So there's places like We Are Spruce and many others that are sort of tabletized cleaning products. You just add water, and that's starting to filter down into personal care, which is really exciting. There's an LA brand that's just recently done sort of like soap, what do they call them? Like soap sheets. So you just sort of, they're little like soluble little pieces of paper.
Paper, yeah.
The size of a business card. And you just add water and you can foam and wash with that. So that's all these
things. That's amazing.
Including water. Yeah, they're brilliant. And that's another area of development that we're working on too. So there's a bunch of things that we would like to do. And I think it's always sort of moving fast. This area, now that we all have sort of been triggered into action, we're all finding solutions. And I actually think all of us collectively will be great to work together, because I don't think there's one strict solution that every consumer or customer will find works for them. And I think, you know, as long as there's options, even 2 years ago, there were no options. So it's just fantastic that there's suddenly solutions for this problem.
I agree. You were saying, you know, there's, when I was talking about the can, you were saying that it's definitely not the, you know, there is obviously some, you know, some things that are not great about the can, but because it's never 100% sustainable, that's for sure. And I think what I really like about the space of sustainability, whether it's in fashion or beauty, or is that everybody is very collaborative. I don't know if you've felt that, but I just think it's, you know, there's so many innovation. It's such a fast-paced space. Things are changing very quickly that it's, collaboration is key, and that's what you were mentioning, and I think that's really great.
Yeah, I think it just revs us all on, actually. And yeah, I agree. I think, you know, we all need to collectively work together to rapidly change the way that we're consuming products and living on this planet. And yeah, it's not one size fits all. We're all going to have to find improvements. And yeah, sustainability is such a complex beast, and I think consumers, I keep using the word consumers, but it's like people, they're just people.
It's true.
Like me, that are feeling overwhelmed by the multiples of, you know, options and complexity and greenwashing that's out there in the market. And I think, you know, we're all just wishing that there was a really quick fix for, you know, the big problems that the world is facing at the moment. And sadly, I don't think there is one, but I do think that amongst the work of many, many people trying to find shifts of behaviour and ways to make change, then, you know, it's all going to be pushing us all in the right direction.
I agree. I think also, like, you know, what's really important, I think your brand does it very well and you're kind of leading the way, is that it's also about transparency. So when you go on your website, for instance, it's really interesting because, you know, if you go on the about page, you quickly very well understand why the brand exists, what's the DNA of the brand, why the can. And I think, you know, if people are looking for the information, I think it's really important for them to make a switch. They need to understand why they're making a switch, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And transparency coming from brands, and it's happening a lot more. It's really important. And that's what you guys are doing. So that's really great.
Oh, that's very nice to hear. I think we've got a long way to go, but it's really encouraging to hear those words. And I'm just really happy to be working in a space that makes me feel, you know, really revved up to, you know, get up in the morning.
I can relate.
Yeah, it's good.
I think it's
really solve the world's problems with cans of soap, but it's definitely going to add a little thing
to help, of course, yeah,
along the path, the very big massive endeavor that we all have to, you know, go forth on.
The mountain that we have to climb all together. Actually, building up on that, don't be scared of the question, but how do you feel about, not about CanCan, but the future of the industry in terms of packaging? What do you think needs to be done? Where, you know, where is the focus? Where should be the focus of the bigger brands in the future of the industry? If you had to pick one, you know, maybe innovation or one change, or because, you know, the big brands have obviously a lot of visibility and they have a lot of, you know, they can change things, especially in the beauty industry. What do you think they should do?
Yeah, well, I think in the beauty industry, I don't know, it's a hard one for me to, there is a real association with packaging and luxury, and that somehow in opening multiple boxes and paper and plastic, somehow the consumer or person is sort of enjoying this sort of frivolous sort of
experience products. Packaging. Yeah.
Somehow that makes the actual thing that you've purchased more valuable. And I really struggle with trying to find a solution that sort of eradicates that association that we've developed over time. And I know that with, I don't know, maybe it's COVID related, or it, I believe it happened before that, that, you know, experiential value has increased over item value. You know, like we, you know, we're appreciating experiences much more than we're appreciating products and items. And I think that as we sort of understand and have a greater insight on what consumerism and, you know, does to the planet and to ourselves, and it does actually make us quite unhappy and all this sort of scale of stuff. I think, you know, the era of stuff, I think, has waned, or we are,
thank God,
we've reached peak stuff and now we're declining, and I'm grateful for that. And I think experiential stuff and the value of time and the value of connection, individuals, you know, human connection, especially after the year and a half that we've all had, is the greatest value. So I'm not sure what that means going forward. I don't have a crystal ball, and I certainly don't claim to have any insights on that. But I know for me personally, you know, that sort of connection to the things we own now, and having a longer term connection to things that we have, and the people we like to spend time with, or the people we choose to spend time with, is increasing in value for me, for sure.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the pandemic has definitely accelerated the consumer's attitude and engagement towards, you know, purchasing. And I really like what you were saying about, you know, when you buy an expensive, you know, brand, beauty brand, it's true that it comes with plastic and packaging. And it's true that I'm pretty sure that in our minds, maybe not mine anymore, but I mean, in our minds, like it adds to the experience, and that needs to change. And probably that's what brands, you know, bigger brands need to do and start thinking about, like having a, you know, a smaller packaging or no packaging at all. That would not be shocking to me.
I mean, Heckles does a beautiful job of it. Do you know that brand, Heckles? They're based in
Yes.
They do a beautiful thing around this, and they have mycelium, the mushroom packaging, which has a real organic shape and form, and, you know, that truly is compostable, not like my pouches from a few years ago. But that is a brand.
The way to go.
I just think they do everything beautifully, and I'm so admiring of the way that they approach things, and they're doing a lot of solid products too, and not in the retro bar of soap way, but in a modern approach, and I think that's beautiful. And so I think there are people doing really clever stuff out there, and
absolutely,
yeah, it's just really
inspiring. It just needs to become the norm, and people need to be more inclined towards those solutions. So, but I think you're right. I think the pandemic really accelerated everything. So let's hope it's gonna continue that way.
And I think it also needs to be governments as well. Like you can't rely on consumers to drive things. I mean, they do a lot, but ultimately government needs to really raise the bar on what's expected and what's allowed. I mean, the EU is banning, or has banned, single-use plastics. That's going global. And there's still really, in the grand scheme of thing, things isn't that much alternatives out there, but it is forcing brands, bigger brands like your larger corporates, to really have to think about the way that they approach things, because it's policy that drives those big changes. It's not, I mean, consumers will do it, but very, very slowly, whereas you just need governments to, you know,
to do it, to impose it. Yeah, it was actually my next question, because I remember we talked about policy when we chatted before, and I was trying to find a comparison, and for me it was the plastic bag, you know, when you go to the shop, your plastic bag, the 5p plastic bag charge. And because it was imposed on us, it became, I think everybody now has like this tote bag to go shopping. And I was looking at numbers, and basically sales have declined. Disposable plastic bag sales have declined by 86% since it was introduced. So, I mean, it's part of the way we shop now. And although there was an incentive to do it, because otherwise we had to pay, I'm pretty sure that there is a way to do the same thing for beauty. And you're right, policy has to come from policy for major changes to happen.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. And the bigger corporations should, I think, also lead the way.
Yeah, they'll be the last ones, I think.
Probably, but I mean, you're right. But then, you know, they have a very large outreach, so they need to also step up. And maybe with the pandemic, that will happen, I think, also. So
yeah, well, we're in for a decade of radical shifts,
changes. So, yeah,
yeah, it's all happening from all angles.
It's true, but it's exciting.
It's exciting. Yeah,
it's scary and exciting.
But excited. No, it's good.
No, of course. And so what's next for CanCan? We talked about the new. I mean, looking into a new design of a soap dispenser directly with the can. What are you looking to add to the next couple of years of
Oh yeah, well, it is exciting, and we're really thrilled to be on this journey. I think the main thing that we're focusing on this year is we're seeking funding, and so that will enable us to expand our product range and do the developments we want around the elevated dispenser, and just reach more markets. We've had lots of interest for wholesale, which is on the cards. Not yet doing that at the moment. We're all direct to consumer, and yeah, lots of interest, especially from the States, actually, which I think is really interesting. So
that's great. Yeah, really
exciting. I mean, I think it's early doors, but these are all things that we're exploring. Yeah, and just sort of getting the message out there more.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Oh, and we're also doing a subscription service, which will be great. So it'll allow the convenience of delivering our products to the door on a regularity. So, you know, people don't have to think about it, and it just makes that convenience part of the business and brand.
I think people really like the subscription side of businesses.
Yes.
Because it really makes it, as you say, painless, convenient. It just comes to your door. Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, and being an everyday product, it lends itself that way, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, I started doing that with a brand that does dishwashing soap, and it's really nice because it just comes to my door, you know, every month and a half, and I don't really have to think about it. And yeah, I think it's great. That's really definitely a great add-on to the business.
Yeah, no, we can't wait to do that. That'll be great. Yeah, it's
I think that's great. Time.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward for I'm hoping you're going to move forward with the can and the soap dispenser directly inside, because I think that's really fun in a bathroom. And I know it's not all about fun, but I really do believe that a fun product will convert even more people. So I think that's a great, it's something to look forward to.
Oh, thanks, Joy. No, we're thrilled. And it's, yeah, we are super itching to get cracking with that, totally. So yeah, we'll be in touch, and we'll send you a sample of it when it comes out.
Amazing. So yeah, we'll keep an eye for sure. And thank you so much for joining me, Elisa, on The Forward Mind. It's the first season, so it's very exciting. And we'll have all the little notes and things that you mentioned on theforwardlab.com, so the show notes, and you can access all of that there. And thanks for listening, and thank you for being there, Lisa.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye. Thank you.